Cambodia is a beautiful country in Southeast Asia, bordered by Thailand, Laos, and Olac, or Vietnam. Cambodia is a fascinating mix of breathtaking scenery, simple cultures and traditions, stunning ancient temples, colonial architecture, genuine friendliness, and more. Cambodia has a magnificent and spiritual past. The glory of the Khmer Empire stretched from eastern Thailand and Laos to south Olac or Vietnam. The temples of Angkor, capital of Cambodia's ancient Khmer Empire, are a perfect fusion of creative ambition and spiritual devotion. Angkor Wat is still the spiritual heart of the country where people come to pray every day. Because of the spiritual atmosphere that exists in every Cambodian's heart, the country is blessed by God's grace, especially in its time of need. Over the years since the 1990s, Supreme Master Ching Hai has continuously sent humanitarian aid to Cambodia. Over the years, Supreme Master Ching Hai has kindly accepted many invitations by earnest truth aspirants to visit their land. We now invite you to listen to an enlightening discussion by Supreme Master Ching Hai with our association members entitled The Mark of a Great Saint from May 1996 in Cambodia.
So after they ate the fruit, the delicious golden mango, the king and all the people who tasted it long for more. If they long for enlightenment this way, would be better. And the desire of the king for the fruit grew more intense each day until he can't bear it anymore. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat any other thing for thinking of the mango. He became love-stricken with the mango flavor. Now, just like every love-sick person, he has to go try to find a way to find the beloved. So finally, he decided to set out to this far distant land of the Himalayas valley to find the fruit. So they made a raft, and the king and his men sailed up the river. Wow, just for one mango tree, for one mango fruit, they risk counter currents, to go up the stream and climb the Himalaya mountain. And for the enlightenment and liberation, not many people venture to do that. Don't you think it's funny? It's strange? Yeah, people do that. Sometimes they go in search for gold or mines of precious stones, and they risk their life and money and everything in order to find it. But the most precious stone lay within human's heart, people don't bother to find. That is very strange indeed, So here, after a long journey of many days and many nights, they reached the mountain valley where the mango tree stood on the riverbank. You must understand, this is not easy as these two sentences described. It's mountains and rivers, and Himalaya at that time is a wilderness. You understand? Even in my time, it's still a wilderness. Even you go there in summer, in May or June, the snow is still cover all the mountains, and the roads were cut through ice cubes and snow a heap that the bus run between the mountains look like an ant crawling between two big rocks, giant rock side, like that. And if you happen to go on food, oh, it's terribly. You have to go through very small path and dangerous. Yeah? And one, if you slip down once, then you became pulverized because the cliff is very, very deep. And the mountain is very slippery with the glacier. And if you're not careful, you slip any time. That's why if anyone survive coming back from such a pilgrimage to such a holy and far away and high mountains and coming back to the city or to the human inhabitants, then people would bow to them, thinking they are very holy and the gods has protected them so that they can come back safe and in one piece and not become powder, not come back in a jar. But come back on food. So when they say that after many days and nights of traveling to the Himalaya Valley, you must imagine extra hardship and troubles that the kings and his ministers have to go through in search for this mango fruit. There is no road, no paved road there, and even the horses cannot go in many places. So even if the king took the horses with him, he cannot ride. The horse will sleep and die. He cannot be used with this kind of a small path like this and slippery glacier. So it is very difficult places to go, the Himalaya, especially in such a very holy places and remote areas where no human beings set foot, or they just set foot in summer for pilgrimage and nothing more. Only summer, a few months, 2-3 months. And winter, the road is all covered with snow, as high as mountains, nobody can travel. And whoever live inside, they have to go out for winter and come back in summer. Only some of the army's unit will be stationed there with their provisions, yeah, to last whole winter long. That's why many yogis and masters favor Himalayas. If you can take enough provision for yourselves to last the whole year, or at least in winter, you can stay there. You can dig a hole in the snow and keep yourself warm like the Eskimos people. And you can keep a glowing fire all day long, then it's become warm in your cave. And sometimes some of the masters stay in the cave during the winter, and the snow covers the whole cave outside, so he will never go out. Just like Milarepa, he stayed there during the winter. And then he would eat whatever available inside the caves, or you keep a provision. And in the Himalaya, you cannot have the provision the way you do in our kitchen. I'm sorry, I don't imagine. All you have is perhaps dry mung beans, yeah, or some kind of beans, and rice. And the water you will cook from the snow, melted from your, in your pot on the fire, and that's it, huh? And some salt, perhaps. Because mung beans is very nutritious, and this is a staple food of the Indian people, especially for the Himalayan practitioners. So if you go there, don't expect yourself to have tofu and three pieces, one person. No. It's very difficult to drag your own body up to that kind of a remote area where no human beings will disturb you, let alone take a lot of stuff, because you have to have your clothes, yeah, blanket, and stuff, and some utensil, thing like that, a very minimum. When I was in the Himalaya, first I have a lot, as every of you, I drag along a big suitcase, you know, spoon, fork, chopsticks, chinaware, whatever from the kitchen, and a big sleeping bag, and a lot of clothes. And as I go higher, the things become less. I can't carry. So finally, I was not yet at the top of the Himalaya, but in a middle way, with one sleeping bag, one staff with I carry the sleeping bag on top, and one pullover, very thin, cashmere, very, very thin, you know, like paper. And two pairs of clothes. Two pair of white, just white clothes, like a tunic, yeah, long cover your behind your knees, and then a trousers, that's it, two. I wash one and wear one, that's it. Nothing else I can carry, and all the utensils, stainless steel cups and silver spoon, whatever, just drop on the way. Originally I kept two, and one spoon, one fork, but later on it become only one. First one steel cup, for drinking water and tea and all that. And another plate like this, a little bit thick, to cook chapatis and have rice and food and vegetable. But later on, I dropped that cup also, and the forks. And then I have to have that dish alone, for tea, for rice, for chapati, for cooking, for water, whatever it is. Because it's become heavier and heavier, you cannot imagine. So I have only one pair of sport shoes, two pair of socks, and two pair of very thin cotton clothes, that's it. Nothing else I can carry. I don't believe going on pilgrimage and other people have to carry you. What kind of merit? So I was determined to make the God moved with my piousness, so I walk on foot. But many Indian people, they went on horses, where as far as the horses can go. Or have people carry on their back or carry with the sedan chair. Yeah? Four people carry and four side, and you sit in the middle? Yes, yes, yes. So many people, when they see me walking around like that alone, they think I'm very holy. Yes, my clothes become holy with the time. Many holes. And my shoes have many holes too. So I consider myself as not very... Yes, it's somewhat very holy. And because I walk alone with only one thin pair of clothes on, they think I'm very holy to withstand all this cold, because they bundle themselves with blanket on horseback and they have a thick pullover and all that. But I have only cotton, like pyjama-like, as a walking. But it's very decent. I make it like Chinese color here, very decent and long. So when I walk like this, people think I was a very holy person. But actually it's not. When you walk, you sweat. How can you get cold? So I was sweating because the road is very difficult. It's not so flat like here. And it's not paved with stone. You have to climb sometime on the rocks and then avoid pitfall and avoid slippery rocks. And the road is not made for high heel. And I have to wear one pair of horse shoes only. And even that, the snow, the cold with water will soak in your shoes. And so when I arrive somewhere, my feet are very swollen and stiff. And if you don't have a fire somewhere to warm yourself, then it stay like that for many days and very hurt. And I also don't have a fire. But when I see some people make fire somewhere, I just sit behind and air my clothes like this. And it's okay. I still survive, no problem. Just to let you know, it's truly like that in Himalaya, It's not just they say, many days, many night journey, and then they arrived. It's not that easy. Because during the journey, you don't have tea houses or restaurants or nothing like that. You have to bring everything with you. So you can only bring flour and salt to make chapatis. And then eat that with the Ganges water. That would be the best for you. Then you don't have to bring a lot of things. Because if you are such a small person like me, you can't even carry mung beans. It's too heavy. And in the Himalaya, it's very difficult to cook mung beans. The atmosphere is very thin. Somehow. And you cook all day long, it doesn't boil. So I resort to eating raw vegetable, whatever I find in the Himalaya while I was there. Sometimes, not all the time. And sometimes in some other places you will find food style, but very limitless. They will put probably 4 pack of cookies and 1 pack of tea powder. And that's it. If they serve about 2-3 person, their provision finished. That is a supermarket in Himalaya. And they probably have 1 kilogram of flour to make enough chapati for maybe 10 person. You eat two chapatis each, and that's it. You have to wait until tomorrow until somebody else carry the provision come to them, and then they probably cook again for you. So even you have money, you cannot buy the things you want, huh? If you came late and other people have eaten already from that food shop, then you finished. Because these are small mountain food shops. They don't have the money to buy the big provision to keep it there for you. And the Indian people, they believe in eating fresh. They go and buy vegetable every day. They don't have refrigerator. They don't believe it. Probably never heard of it. The Himalayan folks, they're very simple.
Join us again on Thursday for part 4 of The Mark of a Great Saint. Stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants. Up next, right after Noteworthy News. May God's grace bring ever more love and blessings into your life.